こんにちは。
こんにちは。
今日は特別編ということで文字起こし同時にリリースしています。ペンシルバニア州立大学アシスタントリサーチプロフェッサーの塚田レオさんです。イエイ。
ようこそ。
こんにちは。
はじめまして。よろしくお願いします。よろしくお願いします。すいません、私たちも先ほどというか本当にもう5分前ぐらいに始めましてしたばっかりなんですけど、軽く自己紹介していただいてもいいですか？
はい。私今ペンシルベニア州立大学というところで、アシスタントプロス、すいません、ちょっと今音声が大きすぎて自分の声が聞こえてるんですけど、
うん、
大丈夫ですか？はい。今アシスタントリサーチプロフェッサーとして、あの重力波という宇宙から来る信号に関する研究をしています。それで研究室に所属はしていまして、学生とか、ボスと一緒に研究をしています。今回はお声掛けいただいてありがとうございました。
いえいえ。あの前にゲストに出ていただいた方のお友達ということで。
はい、そうです。あの高橋優さんという、あの JPL で研究をしていらっしゃる研究員の方と、もともと同じ場所にいた時がありまして、でそれでもともと知り合って、でそれを機に、あの彼がなんだろうゲストとして呼ばれているのを機に、この、 あのバイリンガルニュースも聞き始めまして、はい、時々なんだろうアウトリーチのいい参考にさせてもらってます。
ありがとうございます。めっちゃ世界が狭いですね、やっぱり。
そうですね。
重力波、何か知らない人のために、
はい、
ご説明お願いしてもいいですか？
最近新しく、発見された宇宙から来てるいわゆる信号みたいなもので、で天文学っていうのが、光を見て、で太陽とか銀河とか宇宙にある星々を、勉強するという、研究している分野があると思うんですけども、今までは普通に光を見ていたんですけども、でそれに光とは全く違う方法で天文学をやる、できるものとして最近ようやく発見をされて、話題になっているもので、でそれ自体何なのかっていうと、光とは全く違うもので、時間と空間の歪み、これだけ聞いてるとまた意味わかんないんですけど、それがまた波として伝わって自分たちに届いていると。でっていう意味だと光と同じなんですけども、光とは全く違う手段で観測をして、でそれを、データを解析したりすることで、ブラックホールとか中性子星っていうまたわけわかんない星とか、そういうなんだろう、また宇宙にある重くて結構変わっている種類の星を、のことがわかりますよっていうものですね。
So what is...So you're studying gravity waves,
right?
And
technically, it's called gravitational wave.
Gravitational wave.
Gravity wave. There's another
phenomenon,
like wave phenomena that's has nothing to do with gravitational waves. So, as kind of like a researcher, we like to make a distinction between them.
And what is the difference between these two
terms?
Yeah,
gravity wave is, I think, it's one of hydrodynamic wave, I guess, that you can see from cloud, and so it has nothing to do with astronomy or anything. But if it like there's some like so the clouds tends to move in particular way that can be described by some wave phenomena called gravity wave, and it's affected by some.Gravity from, Earth and, surrounding the clouds. And, I'm not expert on that, but that's another thing. So to just avoid a confusion, I like to stick with gravitational waves.
Gravitational.
Right.
gravity waves がもともとあったから、gravitational waves って呼ばなきゃいけなくなっちゃったってこと？
歴史としては重力波の方が前なんじゃないかなと思いますね。
逆にお
そらくで、もう分野が全く多分気象学とかで 向こうのグラビティウェーブは使うと思うんですけど、
うん、
ちょっと分野が離れている分どっちが先かとかお互いコミュニケーションがちゃんと取れてるのか分かんないし実はグラビテーショナルウェーブも昔グラビティウェーブで呼ばれてたり今でも呼ぶ人がいたりするんですよ、
うん、
なんかそこちょっと紛らわしい、
like、So gravitational is the preferred or the technically correct term that you want to use.
Right. If you like look up in textbook or you know Wikipedia, it says gravitational waves.
So how would you explain or describe gravity in the context of cosmology or space-time?
Right. You know, if you think about it in a like practically, if we think of it as like just like how weigh we do, right? How much yeah, we weigh by gravity. But in terms of like space and time, there's a theory called general relativity that describes the gravity in a totally different way. And in that theory, the gravity, especially around that like heavy object like black hole, it can be like thought of as like distortion of space and time around the object. And then that like distortion like describes the like the trajectory of object, which means like in which route the object is supposed to travel. And also if the heavy stuff like moves in a particular way, that motion creates some you know bivalation of space-time. And that can kind of like travel outward. Just like, you know, light emitted from sun.
It's at the same speed as light as well, right?
Oh, gravitational waves and light?
Yeah, isn't...
In theory, it's the same.
Hmm.
It's the same, like, speed because there's the same equation... like mathematically equivalent equation that can describe both light and gravitational waves. And that equation kind of defines how fast it travels.
Hmm.
And so since we have the same equation, the speed should be the same.
Is that the Hubble constant?
Hubble constant, it's not. Like it's literally the same as the speed of light, which is like 300,000 kilometer per second.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
So are we inside of a black hole right now?
Oh, that's an interesting question. You know, intuitively it's not. We are not like we just sit on the Earth and, you know, Earth is rotating in the solar system. So it's nothing like black hole. Why did you ask that?
Why not? It seems
yeah.
Some researchers have suggested that that is a possibility, that we are inside of a black hole. And that events like the Big Bang are actually like white holes.
Huh. When I actually took a class of general relativity in my university, I also heard about that story like that. I mean, it could be like an analogy, but like, you know, this universe expanding acceleratedly. And then like, we cannot really, you know, goes beyond the horizon of the expansion. It goes beyond the speed of light. There's no way to catch up.
Right.
In that sense, we cannot get out of this some weird, you know, like region of space-time, if you will.
Right.
In that sense, you know, the professor told us, you know, we we could, yeah, we could think that we might be in the black hole in that sense. If that, does that make sense?
Makes like sense trapped. To me.
Yeah, we are kind of trapped the kind of sphere that expanding.
And everyone in our universe would have the exact same problem, right? They have their own sphere.
Right. Yeah.
And we're all in the center.
We are, yeah.
Hmm. Including our egos. They're also in the center.
Right, yeah. It's kind of like self-centered way to think about it. But yeah, that's true.
Hmm. So why do you think that we're probably not inside of a black hole? Why is that less likely?
I would say, like, you know, because this... Okay, first of all, we do know that there exists black hole in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are already inside a black hole, it's weird to me there's another black hole inside a black hole.
That seems normal to me.
Because, like...
That seems normal. It'd be like, weird if it's not that way. But
Okay. Let me put it this way.
Okay.
That black hole we can currently observe, you know, I mean, there are some particular region of space-time that's defined as black hole. And so there's a, you know, inside, inner region, outer region of black hole, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that's already inside black hole, to me, that's contradiction. Does that, like, okay. Hmm. 今観測できているブラックホールがありますと。で、ブラックホールっていうのは、星とかっていうよりかは、光が一回そこに入ったら抜け出せない空間自体のことをブラックホールって言うんですけど。で、まずそこに自分たちの宇宙の中にブラックホールが一つあるってことは、光が抜け出せる領域と抜け出せない領域っていうのがまあくっきり分かれてるわけですよね。ただその空間どっちとも自体もまた違うブラックホールの中にあるって考えると、なんか個人的には変な感じだなって思うね。
I feel like all of this is 変な感じ from the beginning. Like that's the weird part. Like this whole thing is super weird. To me, it's, I don't know if it actually makes sense, but if each black hole is the start of like a new universe, maybe that kind of solves the information destruction. Maybe that's sort of intuitively in line with natural selection.
That
these universes have maybe slightly different constants, slightly different environments. Oh, yeah. And so there's a natural selection process of universes via the creation of black holes.
I think you might be talking about like multiverse. I'd say like, it sounds like you might suspect that there is another universe inside every single black hole.
Yeah. And okay. Outside of our black hole too.
All right. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, I don't mean to give you any clear, I mean, first of all, I don't know. But maybe it's fun to give, like, just you know, guess what's inside, but
I'm having fun.
As you know, like, we have no clue about what's inside black hole, so there's no evidence that proves or disproves that. Yeah, that's what I would say, like, objectively.
But maybe in the future we could disprove that possibility, maybe?
Like physically, okay. In practically also, and also like physical, there's no way to look inside black hole. Like I said, there's no way to, even for light to kind of get out.
Do you have to get out to look inside?
Sorry,
do you have to get out to look inside? You could just go in.
I mean, go in. But yeah, there's no way to kind of like communicate to outside. So
right,
you might know what's inside and gets excited, but you're just, you cannot like...
Is that pointless?
Share it.
Any to share. Sadly.
You can't post it online.
No.
So what do we need to... What kind of evidence do we need to be able to say that we're definitely not inside the black hole? Like, if we... What do we find and we're like, okay, we're... Now we know that we're definitely not in it.
Like I said, I think that in classical, okay, this is getting a bit complicated, but like in classical physics, like I said, there's no way to like, you know, get out black hole, also look in black hole and, you know, convey information outside. So there's no way to disprove that we are not inside the black hole either. But in quantum mechanics, you know, some people kind of like found that there may be a way to extract information from that black hole. But it's I think it's more like, you know, theoretical or thought experiment, where we cannot really use any technology for that. So maybe in the new, like in any time soon, I don't think we can have a way to, you know, say we are not, or we are definitely inside black hole. But I don't know, sometime in the future we could have some technology.
Isn't that exactly what Einstein said about gravity waves?
That's interesting.
Or gravitational. Question. Let me correct that.
So gravitational waves is, okay, it's also energy, right? Because it's a wave. And some sort of energy, it's traveling outward from black hole. That sounds as if something is coming in, like from inside black hole, but it's not true, because the information that gravitational wave have still comes from near boundary of the black hole, but never come from inside black hole.
Right.
Yeah. So like people have kind of figured out using some rigorous math, but yeah.
But don't you think Einstein would be very surprised if you showed him LIGO and told him that we had detected gravitational waves?
For sure. Like he never expected that it's gonna happen. Like I think in his literature, I think he said when he predicted the existence of gravitational waves, but he kind of like put the disclaimer that it'll be pretty challenging to actually detect it in near future, which we did.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's such a precise measurement.
Yeah, measurement of. Yeah, so here's how we measure gravitational waves. We have set up the gigantic kind of like what we call interferometer. it's more like the cavity where we place the two mirrors, like the separating apart, like 4 kilometers or so, and let light travel back and forth inside or between two mirrors. And then we time that light travels between two mirrors. And at the same time, we try to kind of like control the distance between the two mirrors to be like constant. In reality, it's not, but we try to fix it. And then if gravitational wave can pass it through the cavity, the distance between two mirrors changes a little bit. Like, it's extremely small, though. It's a little bit. And, like, that travel time of light between two mirrors changes as well. So we measure extremely precisely that difference in time and convert that to strength of gravitational wave passing through the cavity.
I saw some videos on the LIGO equipment facility, and you made it sound a little less impressive than I think it is when you see this facility.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, they have these massive mirrors. They're like hanging from these threads, and they're pumping all the air out of these tubes, and you have like a 1 megawatt laser, and then you have perpendicular legs,
right?
So is that 4 mirrors for the facility?
Oh yeah, actually 4 mirrors. So we have 2 cavities that's located like L shape, and each cavity has 4 kilometers. And just think about it. You have a laser pointer, and they try to point to a mirror with a diameter of 30 centimeters, I guess, like 4 kilometers away from you. It's insane. Like, even that, it's impossible to me. And also, like, they try to kind of like control the position of laser on the mirror precisely. And so there's a lot of like control systems going on in the facility. It's nuts.
So the actual measurement, is that the measurement, is that like a photon detector, or what is the measuring?
Okay, I shouldn't have simplified too much for you. But yeah, so we detect the intensity of beam using photodetector. And the photodetector converts that intensity into digital data. And then we analyze that, and they, you know, try to kind of like convert calculate how much a gravitational wave is supposed to come in order for us to, you know, measure the photon intensity in a detector. And yeah, that's how we basically do. And there's a lot of noise like involved with that. Like, there's a noise in a detector, like photon detector as well, and they're like, you know, seismic vibration as well. That kind of like a jiggle entire apparatus. And also there's a kind of like fundamental limit in photon count. That's also kind of complicated as well. But there's a lot of noise going on, and we have to subtract or, you know, try to mitigate those noise to dig down to the level of gravitational waves.
I heard someone say, in, what was this? some interview, they were saying that they actually had false signals would be injected to make sure that the process was robust in verifying.
I heard a story. So I joined LIGO 6 years ago when we had already detected gravitational waves. So I just heard that story even before when I joined the collaboration, and that kind of blind test, I would say, happened before we detected it, just to test everything's okay. And it's actually even mean because, so LIGO is huge, gigantic collaboration, and there are, just a few people, in the high rank, in the hierarchy, and they kind of keep it secret among them, and they secretly inject artificial or a fake signal that looks like gravitational waves to the digital data. And then, actual like analysts detect it with excitement.
Oh no.
And I think the analysts were also getting used to it at the time. So they are not really, optimistic in the first place. So when they detected it, they started to doubt. And, some like perform further follow-up analysis to verify that. And that's the entire purpose, right, of that. And it has to be kind of like a real, like realistic drill. And that's how kind of, I think they trained it themselves. But also, even like more unfortunate case is that also once we detect the gravitational waves, there might be some counterpart electromagnetic wave, which is light, coming from the same source. For example, gamma ray or optical waves. And they, once we detect gravitational waves, we are supposed to send alert to external community in astronomy so that they can follow up their follow up their own analysis or observation using their own telescopes. And then when that blind test happened, that alert was also sent out because analysts themselves didn't know if it was true or not. And for external committee, there's no way to tell if it's test or not. I mean, they couldn't tell. So they almost wrote a paper.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Even that external committee didn't detect anything with electromagnetic waves that worth paper, right? Like that's...
Right, that's kind of...
Very first time to follow up gravitational waves with electromagnetic waves. So they almost write a paper, and they right before they started to submit it, the collaboration kind of like confessed there was actually test fake data.
Oh, no.
That's what I heard. Sorry. It might not be true, but that's what I heard.
Did they write paper about this test? Or they just gave up?
I think they just ditched it.
I'd be so upset. Like, what the hell?
This is a really complicated situation, I guess. Because collaboration is now so big that I'm not gonna into too much detail, but this is something that sometimes trouble, but I think it's part of necessary process to make this happen, I guess.
So those people, like, are they now really skeptical? Like, whenever they find something that could be potentially exciting, they'd be like, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Can this be a test?
Yeah, the situation, I think it's now, I think I would say better because almost hundreds of gravitational wave signals have been discovered so far. And and all of those signals come from, black holes or neutron stars. And for those kind of like usual, I would say usual, that hadn't been true until like 7 years ago or so, but like usual sources, I would say we don't have much doubt about it.
もう慣れた.
Yeah. Demo, if it's like different source, maybe the same thing might happen. Like, yeah, we'll be definitely skeptical about it.
Would it be...
How many...
Oh, sorry. Go,
oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just wondering how many people are involved?
I think in total, 1,500 around. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's not just LIGO, but also there's another detector in Europe, like in Italy, called Virgo, and one in Japan, too, called Kagura. Mm-hmm. And with like the three collaborations are kind of like jointly, you know, work together. So counting those three collaborations, I think that amounts to, yeah, 1,500.
Would it be beneficial to have a gravitational wave detector on the moon, on the far side of the moon?
I think so, because... okay, so I think it'd be, so I think it depends on like how big the detector is going to be on the moon. But depending on that, it can also see signals on different like frequency band. And that gives you a way to study black holes, you know, much like heavier or maybe lighter, or maybe different kind of source, like neutron stars or white dwarf. And also, like, we can use both detector on Earth and Moon to get more, I would say, yeah, like precise measurement of gravitational waves.
If you go into, or if you see someone go into a black hole, does time stop moving, or does it gradually move a little more slowly, or is there just a point where it just stops completely, and can you see that?
Okay, yeah, it's about general relativity. It depends on who you are. Like, if you are that person going into black hole, you don't feel anything. You cannot really tell if you're getting in the black hole, or there's no apparent horizon of the black hole if you go inside. And so, you know, at some point, you know, without noticing it, you're already inside black hole that you never can get out. But for if you're an observer, if you're a person that watching, you know, another person going into black hole, it would look like that person goes to black hole slowly, more slowly and slowly as it approaches black hole. Also, interestingly, as you kind of guess that the time goes slowly and slowly, and also the wavelength that comes from the person gets longer and longer.
Redshift.
And actually a redshift, exactly. So at some point, that person is too close to black hole and the gravity is so, you know, strong that kind of stretches the wavelengths outside the optical, like electromagnetic waves. So you cannot even see the person at some point.
What if I have special goggles on?
Oh yeah, that's possible. Okay. But like, yeah, but at some point that wavelength, it's so long that it goes to maybe, yeah, in any modern equipment, that maybe it goes to some region where we cannot really have any goggle to see that.
So it will look like that person just disappeared even though he or she is still there?
There, yeah.
Hmm.
Like, I would say maybe a summary, the person would look like slowly, more slowly and slowly, and fainter and fainter, and disappears at some point. That's what I would say.
Oh, fainter.
If you,
that's weird.
If you solve the redshift problem, let's say you get some magic goggles, would you see the person eventually stop moving completely?
Or I think so. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Technically, not completely.
This is like Zeno's paradox.
What did you say?
I think what it's paradox? Zeno's paradox. It's like if you shoot an arrow at a target, it takes a non-zero amount of time to get halfway there, and then halfway of that.
Yeah, so, okay. In general relativity, it takes infinite time to go to even the surface of black hole. Because the gravity is so strong on the surface. So, and also like time goes extremely slow around there. And that person looks as if he or she is not moving, but it just goes extremely slow. And so, you cannot tell if it's stopped or not. I think that's what's happening.
So they take forever to stop.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
That's really slow.
Yeah. You know, weird thing.
And how long would it take until you don't see them anymore?
It depends on, you know, size of a black hole, like, you know, strength of gravity.
So,
and, yeah.
So the person goes in, right? So from the point of view of the person that went in, they're inside.
Right.
But from our perspective, they haven't gone in yet.
Yeah.
So are they inside?
Oh, that depends on, like I said, perspective, I would say, or viewpoint. That's the, I think, whole point of relativity, right? It's relative. Like, there's no absolute, I would say, truth in any point of time.
Okay.
It depends on, like, which perspective, which viewpoint that you are at.
But that's like a different universe. There's a universe where that person's inside, and then there's our universe.
Interesting.
So maybe we are inside a black hole.
Do you really want to be in a black hole? Right?
Well, it's almost like they're in a different universe because what happened has split completely.
Yeah. So I would say, so in physics term, we call it frame, like ke in Japanese, and that kind of like viewpoint that I kind of described earlier. Depending on which frame you are at, you can see world differently. I think that's what's interesting about general relativity.
Wait, because if you have a miracle cell phone and you can call someone from inside the black hole, right? You can talk to the observer and you're like inside and you're talking and you're telling that person like, hey, I'm inside. But then from the observer's point of view, you're still like, they're almost so, like frozen.
Like, even you know, to talk over phone, you need to communicate to the person using signal. The signal is electromagnetic wave, so it goes at the speed of light. Like I said, even light cannot. If it's truly magical. That might be
hard. Yeah, it's magical. It's magical. Let's say it's magical.
But yeah, just like you know, if you like that, see that sci-fi movie, there's a time lag between like astronaut in the space and control center, and just like that, there might be so much time lag between you and your friends on the phone. So it might not be fun. But
I feel like it's consistent or it's reconcilable until the event horizon thing. you know?
Yeah.
Because you can come back to the same place.
Right, yeah.
But this event horizon, the person in the black hole example, it's like what... It's like it hasn't... It literally hasn't happened in our universe. Like, they haven't gone in. Do you know what I mean? Like, literally. Right. They're not inside. We're sure.
Right. Yeah.
But they went in. From their perspective, they're in.
Yeah.
So how can that be the same reality?
How can that be the same reality? I think, okay, same reality. I think what general relativity tells you is that there is no absolute single reality, I would say. The reality itself can be different, depending on, you know, where you are, like which frame you are at. Does that make sense? And so having apparent different reality, it's totally okay. And in practically, we have kind of like intuition that we are seeing the same thing at the same time, right?
Right.
Yeah, that might be illusion, I would say, by our bias. Yeah, and that itself might be just not accurate description of the reality.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, maybe it's kind of like the kind of shifting perspective about reality.
Yeah, it's almost like two things are happening at once, but at once isn't even the right way to phrase it.
Right. That's, I would say. So you have your own reality and he has his own reality, I would say.
Right. And this isn't a quantum thing. This is just
no,
relativity.
No. Relativity. It's purely classical. And don't ask me about quantum. It gets more complicated.
Is that like the Hawking radiation?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's kind of way to... So Hawking radiation allows, or he kind of proved that in quantum world, it's possible to something getting out of black hole and as kind of like radiation. And then the mass of black hole gets smaller and smaller as radiation kind of like continues. And that definitely proved that, though it's just purely like theoretical thing, but it can be evidence that, you know, the energy coming from black hole.
I think that.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, okay. You guys look pretty much like when I was learning general relativity, so that's totally understandable.
So this Hawking radiation, does that resolve the issue of information being destroyed in a black hole?
Yeah, that's it's been some discussion and the serious research about that. Maybe I cannot answer like rigorous way, but that might be possible. Because if some sort of information goes in the black hole, but that might be, if there's a way to get out, then like why can't we just reconstruct the information from scratch, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So crossing the event horizon, if some information crosses the event horizon and enters the black hole, is that time reversible? Like if you run time backwards, it'll just come out? Or is it gone already? It's been destroyed.
It's been it's been destroyed. Like, it's completely in black hole. And even though, like I said, the reality can be different depending on their frame, we cannot reverse time. Also, like, generativity doesn't allow that.
Right. But the physics should work.
Oh, you mean, like, yeah,
in both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if entropy was the other way.
That's an interesting question. Yeah, that in a mathematical sense, it could be possible. Yeah, sorry, I don't know. I might want to look into that more. But yeah, that's an interesting question. How mass works. Yeah.
Mommy, what do you think?
I don't know. I was just wondering, like, so how do we know that the information is destroyed once it gets into the black hole again?
Oh, because, like, you know, okay, so there's a, how can I say this in a plain way? It's even hard to do that in Japanese, but
you gotta dumb down the hell out of it for me.
there's a funny, like, theory that, not funny, but like they're claiming something serious, but that may be some that the firewall or something on the surface of black hole, it's kind of like huge, like, mountain of energy that destroys everything. That's kind of like analogy to describe that. Then, like, once anything goes into black hole, that destroyed, and there's no way to reconstruct it. And then maybe Michael is asking if we mathematically time reverse that phenomena, what will happen? That's an interesting question to ask, I guess.
Well, if we're in it, what would that mean then?
What would that mean?
Because we're not destroyed.
Yeah, that's true. I think...
maybe it's quantum fluctuations. Like, it goes in, and for the new universe, it's just quantum fluctuations.
I don't know. Like, it's purely like theoretical thing, and yeah, maybe I need to look into more on that.
This is so fun.
Yeah. It's sad, like, once I become a researcher on that, like, I cannot say, like, anything out of guesstimate, like, you know.
You could.
I
know.
Yeah. I want to. I would like to just say something crazy thing.
We have way more freedom.
Yeah.
Well, you can just provide, you know, disclaimer or context. Like, this is a crazy idea.
Yeah, crazy idea.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to be the guy with crazy ideas, but...
Well, yeah. Since we are on the crazy side of the topic, so do we talk about aliens? Did you want to talk about aliens, Michael, some point?
This is the craziest thing that I heard, like, in any episode in Bilingual News, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that.
Maybe. Yeah. Though it's pretty fun.
So what do you think about aliens?
Aliens? Yeah. Yeah, of course I've thought about that. But, I mean, there's no reason that they don't exist. I think that's my take on this. It sounds a little bit vague, but just like black hole, there's no, now we don't have any evidence that proves or disproves it. I mean, there's a, some sketchy thing going on about like UFO or whatever.
Sketchy thing.
It's up to you if you're, if you believe it, but yeah.
That's... Like serious aliens, you know, do you, obviously we haven't, there hasn't been any evidence of aliens,
right?
Or credible evidence of aliens so far. But from your thinking about the universe, what do you sort of expect? Is it little green men, or is it artificial intelligence? Are they individuated entities, or is it like one planetary mind, or
and my okay, I think general tendency of this nature is diversify things, right? And mm-hmm. so the kind of like classical picture of alien having two, like two arms, two legs, just like a human body, don't make sense to me. And that can be something that we don't even like think about or like imagine in mind. Right. And one thing what I found kind of interesting when I was like searching about it, when I was a high school kid, I think it's Wikipedia or something, so it's not really, you know, credible, but we, you know, organic material like our bodies is made from like tanso, right? Coal, or I was, how to say
carbon,
it's like carbon, yeah, sorry, carbon. And the reason that organic material is so diverse because the carbon atom has like kind of four arms to connect to another atom. And the more like arms that you have to connect, the more diversity you can have for the material. And there's another element like germanium or other atoms that have same like four arms to connect to another atom. So that might be possible to have some material or even like life that's made from germanium or those elements other than carbon.
And probably not two arms, two legs, wears glasses.
Yeah, like... I think the like Wikipedia article I was reading at the time is, I think it's for some reason, if it's made from, you know, something other than carbon, like the neuron system is totally different, and they, and then the speed of nervous system, it's so slow that their motion cannot even seem in our kind of like a realistic time scale. So it could be like some rock or some, you know, huge things that we, you know, haven't thought of as like as creature, but that might be creature, and that might be existing, already exists in our life, and we don't really notice it. That's what I kind of like found interesting in the article. Disclaimer, that's not, you know, that's what
this is a crazy idea.
Red, yeah.
Now, there could be silicon-based life also, right? We have neural networks in silicon. I mean, it sort of depends how you define life, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know, systems that reproduce themselves and persist and evolve.
Yeah, I think so.
そもそも最初にこの分野に入られた理由というかきっかけは何だったんですか？
すごいまともな質問来ましたね。なんで、もともとまあこういう宇宙にはまあ興味があって、中学生の時とかにビッグバンに関する一般向けの本とかを読んだ時があって、 でその時にあの、まあ、このまず宇宙というのもでかすぎるとか、あと宇宙が広がってて最初は何もないところから始まったかもしれないとか、そういう非現実的な、なんだろう、文章を読んですごいワクワクしたし、なんかその時はもう中学生で部活に入って毎日走ったりとかしてるだけの生活だったんですけど、その図書館で本を読んでる瞬間だけすごい、まあ、SF みたいな世界に入れてて楽しいなって思ってたんですよね、
うん、
で大学になってからいろいろ進路に迷ってる時に、まあ、そういう昔の思い出を思い出したりして、あ、またちょっとああいう世界に行ってみたいなっていうので宇宙のことを勉強し始めまして、で重力波っていうのをなんでその中でも重力波かっていうと、まあ、それいろいろ選択肢もあったんですけど、あの重力波っていうのは他の電磁波とかそういうのとほとんど相互作用というか、あの邪魔されたりしないんですよね、伝わるときに、まあ、重力にはもちろん邪魔されるんですけど、そもそも重力波なので、ただ、まあ、他の光とかとあんまり相互作用しない分、昔遠くから来た重力波っていうのが伝わりやすいということは知られていて、ってなるとビッグバンとかそれより前の時にできた重力波っていうのが今現在伝わってるかもしれなくて、もしそれを観測できたら光で知れる昔の宇宙よりもっと昔の生まれた時に近い宇宙のことが分かるかもしれないって、まあ、当時習ったんですよね、まあ、今でもそうだと言われてるんですけど、それを聞いて、あ、じゃあ重力波勉強すると宇宙の始まりが分かるかもしれないと思ったのがきっかけでしたね。
アメリカは大学からですか？
あ、いや、実は、博士課程はあの日本で取りまして、あ、博士号は日本で取りまして、うん、そこから、研究員としてこっちに1年半前かなぐらいに来ました。
英語はどうしたんですか？
英語はですね、まあ、あの大学院アメリカに行きたいっていう夢も昔あって、でその時に結構勉強したのがきっかけですかね。あの少し話せるようになったのは、でバンクーバーで語学留学したりとかして、
うん、
あの英会話はなんとかしてました。
なんとか
してました。はい。
Do you still have this curiosity about the Big Bang specifically?
Of course. Yeah. And but like the more I study about gravitational waves, you know, the more kind of like realistic I'm getting. So at this point, and with the instrument we have, we cannot see the gravitational wave that comes from early universe. But I don't know, one day we might be able to.
What about
so the... Why is that?
Because, okay, so maybe naively, if it's, you know, early universe is far away from us in at present. And so if it's far away, that signal of, like any signal, you know, can be, you know, is going to be smaller and smaller. To reach us, until it reaches us. So with the current sensitivity of LIGO, there's no way to detect it. But we could, you know, like improve the sensitivity by upgrading in the future. That might give us something.
今だったらどこまで見れる、どこまでの操作だったらディテクトできるんですか？
それも例えば、あ、じゃあ、今見れてるのってブラックホールとか、中性星っていう、またブラックホールの、あの、うん、これどうやって例えるかな、ブラックホールの仲間みたいな、でもちょっと違った星みたいなのがいたりして、でその星が双子みたいな感じでペアを組んでぐるぐる回ってるみたいなものがあるんですけど、そういうものは、うん、今見れているんですね、重力波で。で、重いやつほど、 強い信号を出すので思い出すほど遠くまで見えて、でそういうブラックホールとかだと、まあ本当に何だろう、この銀河の外よりももっと外まで見えたりはしてます。
Isn't it several million galaxies I think are well in range for large neutron star mergers?
Right. So it's okay. The first binary neutron star we observed was at like 40 megaparsec. It is kind of weird unit we use in astronomy, but it's like several, maybe a couple of galaxies away, I would say. Yeah, that's how far it is from us. And black hole can be farther than that.
Is there a limit to black hole size or mass?
Oh, good question. There's no fundamental limit. There's you might have heard that supermassive black hole that right. could exist in the center of the universe. Oh, that's also like, you know, recently there was a like snapshot of black hole that looks as if it's donut, but it was taken by radio telescope arrays. But that something like that might exist in the center of galaxies.
Like Sagittarius A?
Sagittarius, yeah, Sagittarius A.
And I guess M87 before that.
You're right.
But M87 is way bigger.
Right, way bigger.
But Sagittarius A is like way closer. And so
yes,
they...
closer and smaller, yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of are similar apparent size.
Yeah.
What did you think about that when you saw those images?
Oh, that's sensational. Like, at the time I kind of wished,
you were on that team
working on that. Like, yeah, it's more like visual, right? It's more intuitive,
right?
That tells you that is black hole rather than seeing some weird waveform of gravitation.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a mixed feeling, I guess. Yeah.
But I think the future of gravitational wave research is maybe a little more interesting because there's not that many other large black hole targets that we can image.
Oh, yeah, I think so. So I think for the black hole snapshot that they're doing, they're, I think limited candidates they can follow up. But for us, it's just like treasure hunt, right? Like we don't know how many black holes out there in the universe. And it's just, yeah. Also, there's might be another kind of source like supernovae or, you know, some crazy stuff that we might be able to detect with gravitational waves. So it's just like, you know, like wide ocean that opening up for us.
Maybe aliens.
Yeah, possible.
Maybe aliens have some spaceship, and when they travel,
I think there's a sci-fi movie or novel that extraterrestrial life tried to communicate with us using gravitational waves or something like that.
Wow. But they could put data in the gravitational wave, right?
Sure, yeah. Just like we do with radio waves and so on. If they have gigantic facility that generate gravitational waves with reasonable strengths that we can detect.
What sort of facility would that be?
Gigantic. Gigantic. It's like dumbbell, like, okay, so it's like we need to simulate the binary of black hole or neutron star to generate gravitational waves. I mean, like, we are literally generating gravitational waves right now, but it's so small that we can't notice it. Yeah. So, like, in an early textbook of gravitational waves, they can like, you know, I think some exercise problem that you have to figure out how massive the facility needs to be to generate such gravitational waves.
What if the facility is, it like shoots a little rock, which hits another rock, which changes the trajectory of another rock, you know, which pushes something, you know, and then you cause gravitational waves using objects that are already there, you know? So you could do it with a small amount of force.
Oh, you just start to begin with.
To just trigger.
Right.
Yeah.
Pythagoras-ich的な.
That's interesting.
You want to make sure the math is right. Obviously.
Yeah.
But you could cause a really large-scale event using minimal force just by doing math.
Yeah, I think it's it needs to start with like maybe like Earth, at least Earth scale object, and that kind of like process kind of runs away and goes to some black hole size, and that's yeah, I don't know how it's possible, but
maybe you could set up like 5 of these events and time it in a way that the interference pattern gives a very precise message or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the realm of crazy ideas, but just, you know, what might some extraterrestrial do? You know, I don't know. What's the limit? I mean, we like messing with the environment, changing things. We push the little, Dimorphos with the DART asteroid redirection test, right? So,
yeah.
Seems like as, you know, if intelligent aliens are around for a long time, they're going to mess with bigger and bigger things.
Right, yeah.
Do you think that would be like immoral, or?
I don't know. Like,
we should do it.
But I maybe like scientifically it could be possible. Yeah, I haven't really thought about the way to generate gravitational wave, but that's interesting to think about.
Well, you wouldn't want to miss an alien gravitational wave transmission. Is there a theoretical limit to the sensitivity of measurement?
I would say no. I mean, like...
So it's okay, infinite range?
Yeah, so basically, like, the... Okay, let me see. I think, yeah. So, to be more sensitive, the facility needs to be bigger and bigger, like heavier mirrors or like longer cavity or separation between the mirrors. And though there's another technical challenges that, you know, that's involved with it, but with maybe if you have some, you know, magical like technology that avoids it, I think it should be possible. Yeah, by having larger and larger facilities.
Wow. So we could, patent pending, but we could take LIGO instruments, put them in space, and really increase the distance between the mirrors and do the same measurements?
Using that's possible.
Using like Lagrange points or something, and we could have really massive distance between the lasers, and there's no air, so it's fine.
Yeah, sure.
Less interference from Earth too.
Right. That's true. Like we can maybe like eject, emit some light from Earth and to spacecraft in space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the time, the arrival time of light at the spacecraft end. Yeah.
I'm thinking put one out, like, edge of the solar system and shoot a laser from the moon or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously there's a technical, like, aspect, like how to control spacecraft or, you know, mm-hmm. how strong laser we could have. But I think in a theoretical sense, that's possible.
Is that the direction that we're going? I mean, are we trying to make it bigger and bigger?
Yeah, so... Right. There, I think, several approaches that we are taking now. One is with given, you know, the detector we have on Earth, we could, like I said, like, you know, make it bigger to get more sensitivity. And also, we can launch it in the space, just like Michael said. It's called LISA. Or, yeah. And that's kind of like triangle structure, or like three, like a spacecraft that's communicated to each other too, and you know, orbiting around, around the sun, and with fixed, around a fixed point, and then that also like tries to measure gravitational waves in the space. And but maybe one point to note is, since it gets larger, it looking at the different frequency band, like millihertz, while with the ground, with the detectors on ground we have on Earth, it's looking at like 100 hertz. So that's a bit different, like a frequency band that's sensitive to.
Now how... I'm not sure I understand, like, the gravity waves are, they're detectable across all these frequencies? It doesn't matter what frequency you're using?
Like, yeah, so it depends on which source you're looking for. Or which
I see.
Stars, system you're looking for. So, okay, for example, binary of black holes. The frequency of gravitational waves coming from that binary depends on how big the black holes are, and the bigger that is, lower frequency band that gravitational waves is kind of like falls into, because you know, if it's bigger, it takes orbiting around each other slowly, more slowly, and that's kind of correlated or like mapped to the frequency of gravitational waves. So the slower the orbit is, the more slowly the phase of gravitational wave is kind of like goes on. And yeah, that's kind of equivalent to lower frequency.
But this frequency is not stable. For the merger, right? It's
increasing
as it's, so the orbits per second is increasing until they actually merge, right?
Right, but there's a limit of frequency, you know, up to which there's a limit in the frequency for given source, you know, how much it can go up to.
So that's lower for larger objects.
Lower for lower, larger object.
I see.
So,
見つけたいものの優先順位っていうか、どうなってる?さっき言った、今すでに見つかっているものっていうのはブラックホールとか、あと中性子星っていうちょっとブラックホールになり損ねた、思い星みたいなのがあるんですけど、その2つがあって、その中でも中性子星の方がまだあんま見つかっていなくて、今そいつを見つけたいっていうのが 優先順位としては高くて、でそもそもLIGOっていうのはそれらを見つけるためにデザインプロポーザルが書かれて、 作られたという、まあ、歴史もあるんですけど、でそれを見つけるとさらにいいのが、ちょっとさっき言ったかもしれない電磁波も同時に来るかもしれないという、まあ、可能性もあって、でそうすると、重力波だけではなくて電磁波天文学の人とかもしかしたらニュートリノをやってる人とかいろんなコミュニティの人と一緒に同じ天体を観測できるっていう、なんでしょう、まあ、そういう可能性もありまして、でそれが一番エキサイティングだと今の人たちは思ってますね。
なるほど、うん、
So there's already a plan for a space-based LIGO version of LIGO?
Yeah, so, you know, I just talked about LISA, and it's Pathfinder, which is kind of like prototype or testing version of the spacecraft, was launched maybe several years ago already.
Oh, wow.
And it went well. So the targeted sensitivity, okay, it didn't measure actually gravitational waves, but it tested how stable the system is. And it needs to be stable to measure gravitational wave in the first place. So they tested how stable it is, and it went great. And the targets, like they achieved more than they intended to do. So... is promising, and I think the real one is planning to be launched maybe mid 2030s or later 2030s, I guess.
That should be exciting.
Yeah,
because it seems like that's easily scalable. Stronger laser, just make the mirrors further apart. You said it was in a triangle configuration, so it doesn't. Right. They don't need to be perpendicular.
They don't need to be perpendicular.
Oh, I guess you can just fix that with math. Because you have some... There's some... Right now, you have it perpendicular. And isn't there something about the gravitational wave where the orientation is like flipping? And so the waves are canceling each other out perfectly... unless there's a gravitational wave disturbance.
Right. So, okay, there's no reason that has to be perpendicular. But if it's perpendicular, there are different types of gravitational waves, actually. And the particular orientation is... let me put it this way. The way kind of gravitational wave stretches and squeezes time and space is like it stretches one way and it squeezes the other way. And if it's perpendicular, it's more sensitive to that kind of motion of space-time. But it can be also a triangle. But it has less sensitivity for some kind of gravitational waves, but still it has some reasonable sensitivity too in general. So it still works as measurement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting. So this squeezing that's going on, my head is being squeezed this way and then this way.
Right.
And that's happening all the time.
Right.
And
with
black
direction.
Hole, okay. And like 100 times a second that's happening because of black hole mergers?
Right, yeah.
If that happened, if there was a large event nearby, could that cause a problem?
For us?
Yeah, for Earth, like something
Earth. Yeah.
changes. If it was like two M87s just collided, like, you know, somewhere nearby.
Nearby.
Like, just beyond Pluto or something.
Oh, yeah. It, in that scale, that shouldn't be, I think, problem. Oh, I mean, okay. If it's Pluto, I think we are already in black hole. Inside black hole, though.
Oh, we'll just go in?
Yeah, but let's make it... Let's assume there. Just point like an infinitesimal point. But okay. Even though... even in the case, the signal, like strength of gravitational wave is still small, that it won't affect our daily lives, I guess. Because... Okay. Here's the kind of like how small the gravitational wave is. Like for usual black holes binary that we have observed, or even I think supermassive black hole, just like M87, the degrees that distance change by gravitational wave is 1 part 10 to the power of 20, which is like, if you think about the distance between Earth and Sun, it changes by the diameter of hydrogen atom. So
right.
It's extremely small.
Very small.
Very small. So small that you can't really have better sense of it. But
it's also really far away. So, but it's still very small. It would still be very small, even if two M87s combined, like right next to my head, would I?
That'd be the problem.
Oh, okay.
But the interesting thing, though, you might be able to hear the sound of gravitational wave in that case.
And would it be 100 hertz?
Let's make your body like solid, completely solid body that it won't be destroyed, and. Okay. Your ear, it's like a, you know, it's pretty much like a the detector, right? That senses the vibration of air. But I think it also could work as gravitational wave detector. It, you know, it vibrates space, and so that vibration should maybe reach to your eardrum, and that, you know, could give you some sound.
But it's weird to think of that as vibration when everything else vibrates sort of within that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that... It's like the fabric of reality is sort of... Well, space-time, at least, is vibrating. So...
I think...
So there would be vibrations that we would notice, we would feel, like we would actually feel it?
Yeah, I think so. Even if, like... It's nice analogy to describe it like... your fabric of space-time. It's kind of like, we are in, if we think of ourselves being inside a box of some space and time, and the box itself is kind of like shrinking and you know, expanding with gravitational waves.
Mm-hmm.
But still, us inside a box still can feel, that's why, you know, we can measure the gravitational wave in the first place. And just like that, I think we should be able to sense the gravitational wave with our ears. Just like the optical cavity, you know, changes its separation with the gravitational waves, there's some space in our ear, right? And that should also have the same effect. That's something you can sense, I guess, with using eardrum.
And that would be a 100 hertz... vibration.
Hertz? Yeah, might be possible. If it's, you know, if it's like M87, it's lower frequency band because it's heavier.
I see.
Some black holes we are being observing now, but
because so we can hear like, 100 hertz.
Yeah, we could. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. That'd be
so
cool.
That's, yeah, interesting thought experiment.
Oh, we could take the data we already have and sort of convert it into 100 hertz.
Haven't you heard? Like, there's audio.
Oh, really?
That you can play online.
Hmm. Maybe we did.
Yeah.
We talked about the sound of black holes that NASA published like a month ago or so.
But that was like this weird thing where they took the image of the black hole and they had this thing sweep around in a circle and convert the image into sound. And that's not really what I'm looking for. Right. You know?
Image.
Yeah, so...
I'm talking about the photon sensor.
What LIGO did for gravitational waves or like audio they came up with is like convert that waveform of gravitational wave we saw as purely like digital data. So you can literally play that digital data with speaker.
Mm.
And they also, because it had some frequency band where we can hear, it can literally play. And it sounds like whoop, because the frequency goes up as well.
Right.
In time. So
can you do that sound one more time?
Fine.
I don't want to embarrass myself, but like whoop. And this is not really actual frequency, I would say. It should be even lower than that.
Right.
But that would, you know, that's how it would sound like.
Hmm.
There's no like bang at the actual moment that it merges.
Right. That's I think corresponds to, like I said, the last kind of like
あそこ?
The last part. Yeah.
Oh.
Is it way louder than the rest of the signal?
Right. Yeah, that's the peak of the amplitude of gravitational
wave. So the amplitude is also following the same
goes up. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
And then there's just nothing.
And yeah, it
right after.
Yeah, there's a little signal after the merge, but it's basically way like quieter than the most part.
Hmm. And what is the little signal after the merge?
Yeah, it's you're asking a very good question. So there's a unique pattern of gravitational wave we can predict for after a measure that's called ring down. And the cool thing about ring down is it comes from not two black holes, but that's because it's after they merge, it comes from single, even larger black hole. And then after the merger, because it's so dynamic, dynamical like movement, that surface of remnant black hole or the bigger black hole can wiggle.
Hmm.
And the wiggle, you know, also, you know, kind of like creates a distortion of space-time, which is gravitational waves. And that we can also, we could measure it if we have enough sensitivity.
Hmm. And there's information in...
Right. And so that ring down part is kind of like determined by mass and spin of black hole. So we can guess how big the black hole becomes after the merge and how much it's spinning.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the surface ripples after two water droplets merge or something.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to describe it, I guess, yeah.
Hmm. And how do we know how long that ring down persists for? Is it like seconds or millions of years?
Milliseconds or so.
Oh, really?
So like entire duration of gravitation waves from two black holes, it's that short.
It's and what?
Like milliseconds.
Okay.
Scale. And so ring down is the same scale. Yeah. When I say duration, it's the duration since it's the signal, frequency of the signal goes into the band we can be sensitive to.
Oh.
Hmm.
So actually, even before, you know, we start to hear or measure the signal, still like black holes are orbiting around each other with bigger separation that corresponds to lower frequency band. And if it gets closer and closer, and the frequency of gravitational wave from the system, you know, comes into where we can measure. That's the start of the signal I'm talking about.
Mm.
And from the starting point, it gets to merge really quickly. So for black holes.
Wow.
So it goes like just milliseconds.
So they need to be quite close to create detectable gravitational waves.
Yeah, they need to be, yeah, close. Yeah, in terms of frequency and also amplitude as well.
It's weird to think that there's a moment where these black holes are, you know, 3 centimeters apart, you know? Or...
Yeah, that's totally crazy. It's like... Yeah.
And what's going on in that space in between?
Oh.
That's got it.
You can look up that simulation of black, like, or simulated animation of the merge, and that's really interesting. So like if it close enough, just like so the two black holes kind of kissing each other, it's like you know what I mean, like
right,
they're like each of them cannot hold their spherical shape anymore. So they're pulling each other, right? So that space or boundary of black holes starts to kind of merge together, just like they're kissing. And like, there's a moment that, yeah, that happens.
And there's a it's bridge like there.
Sorry?
I was just thinking like water droplets on the window when it's raining.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, water drop.
Mm.
So...
If you put them too close, yeah, it gets merged, right?
Why is it that we can observe a black hole go into a black hole, but we can't observe a person going into a black hole?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Huh. Okay, I think that kind of like the picture that we were discussing earlier, where there's just like a single black hole sitting still and some person going into that. That picture is a little bit different from the black hole merger, where the distortion of space and time is so dynamic that there's no kind of like universal like description of what's going on for both cases. But still, yeah, I think that's an interesting question, actually. I haven't really thought about...
How does it cross the event horizon of the other black hole?
Yeah, they're literally like just event horizon, their event horizon starts to kind of like merge or like combine or stitch together.
And you have like this two-lobed event horizon.
And it starts to, from two independent, like a separated sphere, it goes to like combined peanut shape, I would say. And they, they share their horizon, event horizon together. And they, it gets merged.
But I don't know how did they get to that point? Because it seems time should slow down and stop. And as an observer outside, we should never observe an actual black hole merger?
Oh, I think, okay. Let me see. Yeah, okay, so this is, okay, far from, you know, rigorous description, mm-hmm. but as they get closer and closer, they go faster and faster. And even though the black holes are so heavy, they could also like go like at half of speed of light, I would say. And if when it, you know, gets closer to the speed of light, that time it takes them to be closer could be some, you know, reasonable amount, I would say. Like, for you to be, how can I say, なんかあの普通に進んでるとブラックホールに近づくまでまあ一生かかっちゃうんですけど、
うん、
それでも高速に近ければ近いほどまあもちろん速くなっていくじゃないですか、
うんうん、
で多分どっかにリミットがあってまあリミットというか収束点みたいなところがあってある高速まで近ければ近くなるほどある有限の値まで近づいていくみたいな多分状況になるはずでそれに近いことがブラックホールの合体では起こってるんじゃないかなと思います、
うん、So the inside and outside of the black hole perspective agree in a black hole merger?
I think inside and outside. Yeah, you mean like we cannot still get any information inside a black hole before and after merger? Is that what you mean?
Well, from outside, they merged. And if you were inside the black hole and your black hole merged with another black hole, would you see that happen?
I mean,
so your friend is in the other black hole and he just shows
yeah.
up. It's like, yo.
I don't know, man.
Wait, so are all the black holes compatible? Like, can any black hole merge with any other black hole?
Mm. Yeah, it's possible as long as they're close enough. And, right, so like, for example, you know, if galaxies... two galaxies like that have supermassive black hole at their centers, when they get merged, also the supermassive black hole at their centers also merge too. So there's a, you know, like variety of cases where black holes with different size merge together. And also small black hole and a large black hole as well.
There are some small black holes around, just floating around in our galaxy.
How small you're talking about?
I don't know.
Like,
how small do they get?
So yeah, that's an interesting question. So black hole in astrophysical sense is born at the end of like star's lifetime. So
right.
you know they have some evolution in their life and they reaches like supernovae, and if it's large, like heavy enough, it becomes black hole. That's conventional way to create a black hole from a star.
Mm.
And there's a kind of boundary of mass above which it goes to black hole. And it's around like three solar masses, like three times mass of sun. In standard theory of star evolution, it's not likely to have black holes less than three solar masses. So it'll be interesting if we find them.
Hmm.
If we find them, it can be, it should have been created by another scenario, right?
Aliens.
Other than aliens, or that's something we call primordial black hole.
From that, before the Big Bang, or
Still after the Big Bang, but okay. But really very early universe. Even before any stars was born.
And how did those form? Just
yeah. So after
from hydrogen.
Yeah, it's not hydrogen, but there's a fluctuation of energy, I would say, in the early universe. And you know, if we think about gravity, if like some, okay, let's say dust gets, even dust can pull each other by gravity. And if they large enough, they start to kind of like pull each other so strong that pull, you know, collects more dust from outside. And it never stops until it becomes some stable system. Just like that, if the fluctuated energy in early universe, if one point of the fluctuation so strong that it kind of gravitates the energy around it, and it goes on, keep going on until it becomes black hole. That's kind of like our picture of how primordial black hole is born.
So
those black holes and the その star からできた black holes can merge too?
Can merge too.
So they're, how they were made is different, but they're the same?
Yes. How they are made are different, but just seeing the black hole, we cannot tell how it's actually created.
Mm.
That's also interesting part of black hole. Because we cannot see what's inside, right? So
right.
The surface is pretty much the same, depending on how they form.
Right.
So if we find one below a certain mass, we might assume that it's primordial.
Yes.
Isn't there also the possibility that somewhere in the universe, there, because of the early quantum fluctuations, there is a black hole that is so ridiculously massive, it's just like makes M87 look like a peanut. Like some monster black hole that's larger than the size of, you know, the observable universe or something.
Yeah, it's, that might be the black hole we are in already.
Yeah. So we are in a black.
Yeah. So like, I think there are two cases where primordial black hole is more likely, or more interesting. So it's too small or too big. By which I mean like it's too small or too big for any star to create that extreme black hole in their evolution. You know, that star has to be so small or so large to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But in any astrophysical scenario, that if it's impossible, the primordial black hole might be only way to create it.
So there could be an absolutely gigantic black hole merger, as long as it's within our observable universe.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really, really, really big, then LIGO could detect it, even if it's right on the edge of the observable universe.
That's tricky. Like I said, if black hole is... Okay, when black hole is larger, that gives us that great gravitational waves with lower frequency.
Mm. So you have the redshift problem.
Redshift, it's not really redshift, but also, like I said, the orbiting motion, it's so like slow, and that naturally gives us like lower frequency, gravitational wave with lower frequency, and we don't necessarily, we are not necessarily sensitive to that low frequency.
Hmm. But we could be, right?
We could be, yeah. If we can, like, for example, launch the LISA instrument in the space, or, you know, build up some new instrument with larger cavity, that can pick up such lower frequency band.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Because if there is this possibility of, like, really massive events that are very far away, because the distant universe could be very different for some reason, because of the, what is it, anthropic principle. We're sort of in an area that's appropriate for consciousness, because we're conscious, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, okay, so the LISA is designed to detect the, you know, supermassive black hole merger. So once it's launched and working fine, I think that'll be the new era of our, you know, gravitational wave observation. I think it's really cool.
And that's cool. Going to be in about 10 years, you said?
At least 10 or 15 years from now.
Hmm.
I'll see what position I'll have at that point.
I have to go pick up my son, but I would love if you guys could keep going. Is that okay?
Sure. Actually, I think it's getting good time for me to maybe, I don't know, get back to work, or it doesn't really. I mean, I would love to keep talking. I would love to keep talking about it.
Oh, we can just do this again, you know, whenever.
Sounds okay.
We'd love to have you back. But is there anything that you'd like to
promote
promote? Just like, I don't know, just come in this field, and that's really exciting. That's what I would say. Yeah, come in this field.
And, 若い皆さん, ぜひ.
若い皆さん, 重力は面白いので, ぜひ, 入って.
I really think what you're doing is just super cool. You're studying the weirdest things in our universe, and for sure we're gonna find out about, you know, new objects, new events, new space, and hopefully we can understand the Big Bang and what we're doing here. So thank you.
I hope so. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. ありがとうございます。
ありがとうございました。
Bye.
Bye. Bye.